20th, 1919. Died September 14th, 1964. My warning from the ghost that terrified me. A nine-day specter that haunted me day and night with five short words. Sorry to let you go. Sorry to let you go.
Miss Thompson speaking. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Putman. Mr. Hood is out of the office. Yes, that's right. Today's the 14th of July. Oh. Well, it's not on his calendar, but I'll remind him. Oh, Mr. Hood, you just had a phone call.
Never mind, Sandy. I won't be taking any calls anymore.
Oh. What are you doing?
Cleaning out my desk.
You were fired?
The actual words were a little kinder. Sorry to let you go.
But Mr. Hayes, I'm concerned.
Oh, I'll have time to look around. There's 2 months' severance pay.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. A person could move out maybe to another person who did the job better, but to get fired because of a machine?
We live in a mechanical age. The new computer makes my job unnecessary.
Oh, that's scary. It gives me goosebumps. Oh, that could happen to all of us. Like the man from Mars taking over or something.
Oh, it's not quite that bad, Sandy. Now, let's see. Pictures of my wife, Louise. Son, Buzz. Daughter, Susan. Beth, Plum. Fondly awarded by a grateful company on my 10th anniversary. An engraved ashtray, ditto of my 15th last year. And the key to the executive men's room.
Mr. Hayes.
Oh, come on, Sandy. It isn't that bad. Look, I'll tell you what. I'll take you to a farewell lunch and goodbye drink, huh?
You already have a luncheon date today. At Mario's. Mr. Portman's expecting you.
Yeah? Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten. Matter of fact, he's just the guy I ought to see. Maybe he'll have a job for me. I'll go over to Mario's now.
Well, the guy looked at his father-in-law and he said, why should I do this? He's a nice girl, never did me no harm. So, maybe it's not that funny, but I get big laughs with it out of town.
Oh, it's a good story, Ed. I'm just not with it today.
Oh, maybe you need another drink.
No, thanks.
You got something on your mind. What is it?
I'm thinking of making a change in jobs, Ed. A few months ago, you mentioned something interesting at your shop. But
forget it. Pipe dream. You got a new efficiency expert in blue ball gas. We're putting in the mechanical models.
Computers?
Yeah. Shove a card in, you get the answer to everything, except the right address and telephone number. I mean, gals. But that wouldn't interest you.
What about your department, sales?
Oh, it's way below you. Why should you want to make a change anyhow?
Because I got fired today. I'm looking for a job.
Huh? You'll find a better one?
I hope.
Sure. I got to be making tracks. Oh, no. This one's on me.
No, let me get it. I'm not on the ropes yet.
I still pick it up. And I'll do you one more favor, Walt.
What?
Free advice from an old salesman. Don't tell anyone else you're out of a job.
Why not? It's no disgrace.
Maybe, but you take a tip and play it smart. Don't carry your hat in your hand. Let them come to you. It's the only way you can get dough. And at our time of life, that's what we got to have, Walt. Don't you ever forget it.
That's what Ed left me with. The beginnings of fear. I wasn't likely to forget how much my paycheck meant. Taxes, school fees, heat, water, commutation, and insurance. Yes, insurance on the house, on the cars, on the furniture, on hospitalization. And most important of all, on my life. Well, that ends, too, with my job. The first thing I have to do is to convert.
of Mr. Hayes. I hope it can be avoided, and so do I. So why not wait a few weeks? As soon as you're employed again, undoubtedly, there'll be a new group policy.
And if I'm not employed?
Automatically, I'll convert to term life for you.
Well, there'll be one comfort in it at least. The satisfaction of knowing I'm worth something. Even if it's dead instead of alive. Oh, Mr. Swanson, if you should call me or get in touch with me at home, I'd appreciate it if you didn't mention to anyone that... Well, my wife doesn't know about me yet.
Mr. Hayes, that's your business, not mine.
When I left Swanson's office, I could have gotten a 3:30 home, but I didn't. My regular train was a 6:02. I waited for that because I had a large decision to make. Would I tell my wife the truth or shouldn't I? How could she help me? And why should I add to her worries? How'd you get my car?
Well, the generator went out on the station wagon. I have to have it towed to the service station. Then I cab down here to the parking lot and picked up your car.
Oh, you poor darling. Oh, you sound as though it's been a bad day, huh?
Horrendous. You drive there, please.
Okay. Kids all right?
It's lost the fluid. But the washing machine is making strange noises again. And the septic tank man says we need new fields.
What's that going to cost?
Cut the grass because we can't get the mirror started.
Cheer up, it's only money.
Which we never have enough of. Oh, never mind. How was your day? And if anything went wrong, don't tell me or I'll dissolve in helpless tears.
Well, it was just a run-of-the-mill day. Nothing special at all. Not with that little bat. I wasn't going to tell Louise. I wasn't going to tell anyone I'd lost my job. Not till I found a new one. And suddenly that cold, wrenching knot was back in my stomach. Good thing I didn't. I shut my eyes against the knot.
Oh,
the
bed! Fool could have killed you.
It wasn't his fault. I didn't see him.
Well, if you're planning to kill yourself, please don't do it with me in the car. I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't mean that. The nerves are just shot. Oh, let's get home. I need a drink.
So do I. I needed that drink, Louise would never know. Because now, I had a sudden premonition of what I might have to do if things didn't pan out. I'd said it to the insurance man. Without a job, I was worth more dead than alive. I kept up the miserable masquerade. Leaving everyone in my regular train as if going to work. Sandra Thompson, my former secretary, was there to take messages for me. But 4 weeks after I was fired... Well, any messages for me?
I'm sorry. No.
Well, that figures.
You haven't found anything yet, huh?
Nope. Well, the only bright spot is that I have you to cover for me in case something does turn up. Well, I'll look in again about noon, huh?
Mr. Hayes.
Yes?
I won't be able to cover for you anymore.
All right.
I got my walking papers, too. This morning.
Oh, that's a shame, Sandy. Thought that you would find something else.
Well, I... You never found it so easy, have you?
Well, it's different for me. I can't type or take dictation. I'm learning by bitter experience that I can't do anything else but run an efficient records and file system. And a machine can do that better, it seems.
It's machine for everything nowadays. Nobody likes people anymore. Oh, I hate that... That computer in there. I've gotten so dream about it at night. I had nightmares of those arms and legs and joined up with all the others to trample people to death. I tell you, I'm scared, Mr. Hayes.
I know just how you feel, Sandra. So am I.
How's your day?
Well, about as usual.
Why, you look tired. Go ahead, I'll drive.
No, I can bear that.
Get your check today?
Yes, why?
Well, it was just that I had a call from the bank. They say they're overdrawn.
Well, that's ridiculous.
lately.
Well, I've just been working too hard, that's all.
About time they paid you properly for it. Aren't you due for a loan?
Not this year. I should have told Louise then, but I couldn't. She could have married any one of a dozen successful men. I don't know. Most of them are still our friends. I couldn't admit to her or to them that I was a failure. So now I was no longer just afraid, I was desperate. Well, there was one last straw to cut short. Ed Portman. I'd been trying to reach him at his office. He was never in. I knew he was avoiding me. I also knew that sooner or later I'd find him at Mario's.
Fresh out of college. There's an expensive training, well. Hey, you couldn't expect the company to lay that out for a man your age. There's nothing there for you, Walt.
Please, Ed. Ed, what am I going to do?
Oh, well, something will turn up. Look, take this card and try these people.
What is it?
A real live wire agency for placing people in executive positions. Where you belong. If anybody can find you a spot, they can. Now, look, I got to run. I've got to get back on the job.
I don't know how I got through the next few days, waiting to hear from the agency. I left my resume with them, and they promised to be in touch. And then the letter setting the appointment was there, along with another one. My binder from the insurance company. At least that was settled. I stopped at the office to pick up my last check. On the way out, I stopped in the computer room. And I watched it clicking away, impersonally doing my job. It was all I could do not to tear it apart, smash it, destroy it. And feeling a little ridiculous, I hurried to the bank. I cashed my check, went to the insurance company, and paid my premium by cash. It left me less than $50. But my family was protected now. I felt calmer, with a stirring of irrational hope as I went to my interview with Mr. Stern of Executives Unlimited.
Of course, we have read your background, which is very impressive. But I'm sorry to tell you that I don't think we can help you.
Why not?
We couldn't hope to find you anything at your price level.
Well, I'm willing to take less than I was making.
I'm afraid that wouldn't help.
What you're telling me is that I'm not employable.
Not exactly, sir. All I say is that you don't fit into our personnel category.
What you mean is that I don't fit into the holes punched out by a machine. It's my bad luck that I'm an individual, not a mechanical robot constructed to fit the right blueprint and specifications.
What's the matter with the world that there isn't room for people anymore?
I don't remember getting home. I just remember a long succession of drinks in bars on a train and finally Louise opening the door for me as I came home.
What? Where have you been?
What's the difference?
But the difference is there's a little one full of friends waiting for you. Don't you remember? This is our anniversary party.
No, I don't want to see anyone.
Oh, you've been drinking. Oh, what's gotten into you lately? Push me aside. You won't see your friends. What's happened, darling? What's happened?
I'll tell you what's happened. I'm a failure. That's why I can't face any of you. I lost my job 2 months ago, and I found out today that I'll never get another one. The only way I'm of use to you is dead. He's running to the car, heedless of Louise's voice calling to me. At last to a rendezvous made for me 2 months ago, and the only voice I could hear kept saying over and over again, sorry to let you go. Sorry to let you go. Sorry to let you go.
Don't talk like that. But why? Why did you do it, Walt?
Look, I didn't try to commit suicide, Louise. I thought of it. But I couldn't go through with it.
I know that, dear. I pieced a lot together in the 4 days while they were operating on him, putting him back together.
Am I back together?
It'll take time, but you'll be just as good as new.
Well, what did you mean? Why?
Why did you keep it to yourself? Just because you were let go, do you think I or the children or your friends would ever let you?
No, no use to. You can't find a job. It's a machine age. No room for people anymore.
Don't say that, dear. The only thing that counts is people. If you trust them. Now, both Jack Snow and Hank Jessup have jobs waiting for you. Right now.
Jobs aren't that easy. Today, you gotta fit the machine. Or be one.
Now, you listen to me, Walt Hayes. Don't you sell machines short either.
What do you mean?
The machine is paying your hospital bills. And our expenses till you're ready to go to work. But the man who drove you off the road didn't stop. But they found him. And he's fully insured.
They found him? But how?
Well, there were tire marks. Smudges of paint on our car. Some chrome ripped off his and part of the license plate. A very modern police sergeant fed the clues into the computer. And they caught the driver in no time at all. But no matter how complicated they are or how efficient, machines have to be run by people. And people are the only thing that count. Oh, please, darling, please. You've got to unlearn that.
I'm sitting in the garden. It's the last day of my convalescence. Tomorrow, I go back to work. The irony is, I'll be programming, filing, and recording systems for computers. It so happens I've discovered, with my friend's help, that I have a very special talent for that. But as I watch Louise come across the lawn to me, I'm still nervous about it.
Well?
Yes, darling?
Buzz is all ready to start cutting the grass.
But he can't get the darn machine started.
Would you mind?
Fix a machine? No, darling, it would be a pleasure.
Chicago 60601.